Opening your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. This is actually the second message on our series on grace. Our first was But God, and I always love those But God moments. This second one we've entitled And God. Things were going along in a certain way, and the blessings was flowing, and God added, and God. It always explodes when there's a but God or an and God. I don't ever want to take God for granted, but I love those moments so much. In 37 of Genesis, verses 5 through 7, it said Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose up and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered round mine and bowed down to it. Now, his brothers was much like me and you. They got kind of sideways with him about that. They did not like it at all. They got angry. They got jealous. Joseph was born because of the intervention of God. We know that Rachel was barren and was not able to have children. Jacob, through Leah and the concubines, produced all of these 10 kids. And finally, God opened her womb. That was the but God moment. He was born because of the divine intervention of the Almighty. And then we have the and God. So not only was he born because of intervention, and God added to that by showing him favor. His father showed him favor, but God showed him favor. But there was attributes within his life that made him different than all of the other children, all the other brothers. And Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 2, puts it, he was like a lily among the thorns. Today we would phrase it, he was a rose between the thorns. His life reflected purity. Joseph's life was so different than all of his other brothers. His other brothers was mean. They were evil. But Joseph was different. He went out to guard the sheep with two of his brothers. And what he saw them doing shocked him. So he told his father, because he needed to. There was a lot at stake. Those were his father's sheep. His father had a good name in that area. And whatever it was that the brothers were doing so shocked him that he felt the need to tell Jacob everything that was going on. Now, many people point fingers at him and say he was a tattletale, but literally, he was showing tremendous integrity when he told his father what was going on. It becomes very easy for us to ignore, to say, well, if we just keep our mouths shut, everything will be cool. Or, these guys are going to get mad at me if I say anything, so I'm not going to say anything. When sometimes we are responsible to say something, it's part of our integrity. When something needs to be said, we must make sure that we say it in the right way and we say it to the right people. Don't get on the telephone and tell 45 different people. You know what that's called. Gossip. Integrity is telling the right person the right thing, which is the truth. Do what is right, no matter what it costs you. And it cost Joseph, because they got angrier and angrier with him. He was already daddy's favorite. He already had a sports coat that was kind of loud, and he didn't mind wearing it, because it showed that he was his father's favorite. But he didn't really taunt that. He relished it because it meant tremendous things. That was a part of, and this is point two on your outline. The first was purity. This is the promotion. That coat, his standing, was a part of the promotion that God was giving him. In Genesis 37, 3 and 4, it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a tunic," or a coat, "of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him." These verses tell us about the atmosphere in that home. The atmosphere which Joseph was having to contend with and grow in. The strikes were against him. You know, we're so quick sometimes to say, well, my parents were not good to me, or my home situation was so bad. And we use that as an excuse of failure. If anybody had a right to fail, it would have been Joseph. But he rose above it. And that's part of what I'm ministering this for, so that we can see how Joseph overcame, how Joseph, by the grace of God, was blessed beyond measure. He was being prepared for his future. And that's difficult sometimes. It became very clear that Jacob was guilty of favoritism in his relationships with his children. The home was a difficult place. We're told that Jacob loved Joseph more than all his other children. Jacob should have known better than to do this and make it so public and so evident. He grew up in a home that was the same way, that it was rife with favoritism. He understood what it was. The favoritism brought envy and strife and trouble. It always does. Parents in any age should be very careful that they don't flaunt the favoritism that they have maybe for one child. It would be better that you didn't have that. But if you do, don't rub it in the other kid's face. That's asking for trouble. Do your best to always treat children as equals, as far as possible. Jacob's choice of Joseph did not arise purely from a desire to elevate him above his brothers. That's not where it came from. I know that when we read this, we think that Jacob wanted Joseph to rise above the others. But it appears from the text that Jacob had chosen Joseph to be head of the household on his death. It's indicated by two statements. The first statement was because he was the son of his old age in verse 3. Secondly, he made him a coat of many colors. So we need to look at those two details. See what's going on here. Where is this coming from and what is it leading to? The phrase, because he was a son of his old age, can refer to Jacob being 91 years old when Joseph was born. That could be what it's talking about. He had waited many years. You remember the story. He worked 7 years so that he could get Rachel as a wife. Working for Laban, Rachel's mom, dad. And then the dad tricked him and didn't give him Rachel, gave him Leah. That's what he got for drinking too much. He's not the only one that's had, you know, woke up. Whoa! What did I do last night? You know, when you're drunk on the spirits, you don't have to ask that. I like to be filled with the Spirit, not spirits. But Laban took advantage of him, and he had to work 7 more years, 14 years. She must have been a knockout. So he had waited a long time. Because after they were married, 10 other kids came into the family. And Rachel had still not been able to bear a child. And Jacob still loved her with a depth that is almost unimaginable. He waited and he waited and he waited and he waited. And finally there was that day. She says, I'm feeling strange. Something's going on. And sure enough, God had opened her womb. And there was a child that was growing within Rachel. And when Joseph was born, Jacob's heart finally realized his desire, his dream. It was right there, all red and wrinkled and crying. But it was his dream. But there's another possibility of the meaning. The phrase can also be translated because he was a white head on young shoulders. One points to Jacob, the other one points to Joseph. But that translation would fit the words that are there. This might mean that Jacob saw the wisdom and the strength of character in Joseph that was missing in the other sons. Jacob is 108 years old when this event takes place. He does not know how much longer he's going to live. He needs someone, one of his sons, to take over the enterprise whenever he dies. The oldest son, Reuben, he was the likely, whatever thing pointed to, he was the oldest son. He was the one that was deserving, according to tradition, of the double portion. But there's a little thing called incest. And Reuben had committed incest with Jacob's concubine, Bilhah, in Genesis 35:22. That disqualified him. The oldest sons of Bilhah and Zilpha, the handmaidens that were giving to him, they would not have been Jacob's first choice because they were not from his actual wives. So the only choice that remained was Joseph, the eldest son of his favorite wife. So I believe that he was grooming Joseph to take over the enterprise, to take over all of the hundreds and hundreds of sheep. The land. We're also told that Jacob made Joseph a coat of many colors. We always seem to picture this as that sports coat that just screamed out, "Here I am. I'm special. Father loves me more than he loves you." And we can almost see Joseph just walking around, kind of holding on to the edge of the coat and kind of rubbing it in his brother's faces, but that's not the way it was. This garment said far more than that. This phrase, this translated coat of many colors, means that coat that had long sleeves and almost went to the floor, was ankle length. It was a special type of garment that was multicolored, and it was heavily ornamented. It would have had sleeves that went all the way down to the wrist, which most did not. And it had the hem of the garment that reached to the ankles, which showed that he was a ruler. It marked him as a chieftain or the head of a clan. That's what made the brothers so mad. This coat made him distinctive. This type of garment was not worn by some common worker. It's kind of like the robe that you and I are going to be receiving when we get to heaven. He's going to give us a robe. It's kind of like the robe that was put on the prodigal son when he had come to himself in the pigsty, and he was still covered with everything that was in that pig pen. And he made his way back home, and his father saw him while he was still a long way off, and he ran out and he put his coat on him. It was that distinctive coat. That's what made the other brother of the prodigal son so angry. This type of coat was only worn by overseers and royalty, those who were above the common laborers. This coat was worn by heirs. That's why I say that we're going to have one, because we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. And when we get to heaven, he's going to treat us like that. When Jacob gave this coat to Joseph, it identified him as his father's choice, as his replacement at the head of the family. It identified him as the superior son. That coat told all of his brothers and everyone else that saw him, when you report to him. This was a big deal in a family of that era. The head of the household literally held sway. He ruled on what went on. His father had given him more responsibility with the family than any of the other brothers were able to have. That's why the jealousy came up so much, and they got so angry. When the other brothers saw Joseph wearing that garment, they knew exactly where they stood. But more important, they knew where he stood in the pecking order. But the Bible makes something very clear. Joseph carried or conducted himself very well, and he earned the respect of his father. And as time went on, his father gave him more and more responsibility in the family. He carried himself so well and proved himself to be trustworthy that his father literally appointed him heir in his place. By the way, this position would have also entitled Joseph to a double portion of all of the inheritance. And that just ate at the heart of all the other boys. Sometimes a pastor sees that going on in a church. Somebody gets saved and they begin to work for God, and they give themselves so totally to God that God begins to bless them and elevate them, and then others get jealous of that new person. And we get judgmental. And I've actually seen Christians try to tear them down and put them in their place. It ought not be. And we guard ourselves against that. But that was happening in Jacob's family, and Joseph's brothers were guilty. All the attention from Jacob toward Joseph created a tremendous jealousy within his brothers. In fact, we're told that they hated him and could not even speak peaceably to him. That word hate is extremely strong. It has the idea of a person or a thing that detests or despises someone else. They don't even want to be in their presence. They will have no contact. And if they do, it's hostile. The brothers of Joseph wanted nothing to do with him. They wanted him as far away from them as possible. They could not even say hello, or in that day it was shalom, when they met him, when they saw him. They didn't have a kind word for their brother. Everything was spat out. Everything had that connotation of, I hate you. Every day was the same thing. From the time you get up until the time you go to bed. But Joseph rose above that. And he conducted himself and he carried himself very well. That means that he was very cordial and very kind to all of his other brothers. Now, I've given you quite a bit to chew on. So now let me quickly make some points of application before we move on. When we live a life of integrity and holiness, now I'm talking about me and you. When we live a life of integrity and holiness, the Father notices. That's what happened with Joseph. That's what will happen with us. When you as a Christian, you show integrity. When you as a Christian, you show the holiness of God. And we're commanded to. When we are faithful in our service to the Father, He will promote us to even greater services. Didn't He say in Matthew 25:21, when you're faithful over the little, I'll make you ruler over the much? So when He finds out that you can take care of things properly, then He will give you even greater things that you can rule over. The true character of our heart is revealed in our faithfulness, in our service to God. As we're faithful to Him, as we uphold Him, as we bring honor and glory to His name, He knows that He can trust us. It's more than just reading a few scriptures and saying some quick prayer. It's a heart thing. When we literally love Him with all of our heart, when we give God all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our being, when we're serving Him with faithfulness of what He said do, He takes notice of that. You want to grow in God? Be faithful in your service to Him. Show integrity. Show holiness. The second thing that we can apply from what we've gone through here this morning. When we're promoted, we must not boast about our achievements. Don't you get proud. Don't you get haughty. Man, God will cut your legs out from under you. You'll be walking pretty and then, and you'll go on your face. Don't do it. God hates a haughty spirit. The Bible says that. But a broken and a contrite heart He'll never despise. So when we get promoted, we must not boast about our achievements. Any advancement that you ever get, in or outside the church, in your work life or in your spiritual life, it is in the grace of God. God, because of His grace, because if He wanted to get nitpicky, He's got every one of us. Because all of us are guilty. So when God is working in our lives, He will promote you. He's got a plan for you in your secular life. He's got a place for you to work. He's got a place for you to continue to rise. And He's got in His mind already a blessing of a salary. And if you're not faithful, and if you're not showing integrity, and if you're not showing purity, you may never reach what God desires for you to have. God might desire you to make a buku money to use for His glory. It ain't to put in your pocket and to boast about. And it ain't so that you can sit back and take it easy and get lazy. It's so that you can be a blessing to His kingdom. Because if He can't get it through you, He's not going to get it to you. Remember that. That's just a good little phrase. As long as you are generous with Him, He'll be generous with you. You get stingy with Him, God can turn it off. Every once in a while, God will just reach up and tear a little hole in your pocket. And everything you got in your pocket will fall out. Not literally. Don't take me literal. Somebody will go out of here and say, you ought to have heard what Pastor Lewis said. He said, God would tear your britches. Well, He'll do that too. But He'll cause it to go away. Number three, when others prosper, when others are promoted around you or over you, guard against becoming angry and jealous. Instead of being angry that they're progressing, be thankful for what God is doing in their lives. Because God is the one that's giving them promotions. Your true self will be revealed on how you respond to the promotions, the blessings, and the achievements of those that are around you. If you get angry or you get jealous, who do they think they are putting him over me? I was working here before he was, and I know 10 times as much as he does. Man, you just showed who you are. Be careful. God sees. Very quickly, let's turn for home. That thing up there says I got 4 minutes and 15 seconds. It doesn't know anything. Point three is the promise. The promise. As trouble was brewing in the family, God was working in the life of Joseph. God spoke to Joseph in two dreams. In these dreams, God revealed some of his plans for Joseph's life. I want to look at those dreams so that we can see how God was thinking about Joseph. In Genesis 37, 5 through 8, it says, Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said, listen to this dream. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, and suddenly my sheaf rose up, stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. And his brothers said to him, do you intend to rule over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he said. This dream is that "and God" moment. And God revealed to Joseph what his future was. And God will reveal to you your future in him. So this first dream was of Joseph and his brothers gathering grain in the field, and they were cutting wheat and binding it into sheaves. And in the dream, Joseph stood up and his brothers bowed down. And his brothers immediately interpreted the dream that Joseph had. And they interpreted it to mean that Joseph thought that one day he would rule over them, and their reaction was anger. It wasn't Joseph that created that dream, it was God. And they defied the dream, and they hated Joseph even more for having that dream. And then Genesis 37, 9 through 11 covers the other dream, the second dream. And the second dream consisted of the sun, moon, and 11 stars all bowing down to Joseph. And this time, not only did he tell his brothers, but he told his father also. And Jacob understands the implications of the dream and issues a very mild rebuke, but a rebuke nonetheless. But we're told that he kept the matter in mind. He put it in his heart and he carried it with him. Jacob is having his choice of Joseph confirmed by that dream. God is saying through that dream to Jacob even, good choice, because it's my choice too. And his brothers grow even wilder. Not only has their father apparently chosen Joseph over them, but now they see God speaking through Joseph and elevating him. these things created even more jealousy and more misery for Joseph. I want you to note that Joseph didn't seem to share that dream because he wanted to brag or boast. He told them because it was so strange. He was as shocked as they were, and he just needed to share it with some others. I don't see any impurity there, and I don't see any haughtiness there. These dreams are a first indication that God has some big plans for him. Eventually, they'll all be fulfilled. Oh, he's going to have to go through some hardship. He's going to have to go through some trying times. I believe it was these dreams and him looking back upon them that sustained him as he was in the pit and his brothers had turned against him. I believe it was the dreams that sustained him. When he was working in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife tried to take advantage of him and then had him thrown into prison, it was the dreams that reassured him that God had a plan for his life, and that's not the plan. Everything will turn out right. There's a truth here about dreams. Seldom does God ever show you his plans in a dream. Once in a while, yes, he will. But we have his word. They didn't have the word. We have a full compliance of his word. Any dream you have, if the word doesn't back it up, then it's probably not God revealing anything to you. So search the word and see if it's backing your dreams up. The Bible speaks to many issues, dreams usually to one. Then there's another thing, there's a truth about hope that's here. In the dreams, Joseph received that shadow of the promise was revealed. He held on to those dreams and they sustained him. Let me say something to you. I don't care if you're old or young or in between. Hear what I'm saying. Because I believe this is timely. When God births a dream in your heart, let nothing take it away. I don't care if every hardship known to man comes your way. Don't let it take that dream away. When God births something down inside of you, let it reassure you that God is going to accomplish what he said he would. He's never failed me yet. It'll be in his time, in his way. And then one other thing, very quickly. There's a truth about hatred. When you serve the Lord, live clean and follow God's dream that he's given to you. But know that people's going to get sideways with you. They're not going to like it. And they're going to do everything they can to stop you and to stop it. Don't be surprised when they hate you. They hated the Lord. He said they'd hate you too. John 15:18-20 says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you don't belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, and this is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is no greater than his master. So if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. Don't let the haters stop you from achieving the fullest potential that you have in the Lord. And let me say one other thing very quickly. If you need other people to tell or determine who you are, then you're missing what God's got for you. If who you are depends on what they think of you, then you're going in the wrong direction. If you don't know who you are in Jesus, then answer, are you listening to him or do you listen to others? It's very important. So bow your heads with me, would you please? Maybe through this message, God has placed his finger on some area of your life today. Maybe there's something going on in your life and God has just put his finger on it, either as a confirmation or as a correction. Maybe he's telling you to take care of this. There might be a problem in the area of purity somewhere. And he's saying, take care of this. Or maybe the Lord sees some jealousy in your heart. And he's putting his finger on it saying, give that to me and let me take care of it. I don't know what you might be wrestling with, but if God has put his finger somewhere in your life, what a great day to take care of it. Maybe life itself and your circumstances has interfered with a dream that God birthed down in your heart, and you wonder if it'll ever come to pass. Will it ever happen? Maybe you need some reassurance today. And maybe you need to just ask him.